to the Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and for the first time ever, I'm not joined by my co-hosts, Jeb and Luke Cuthbert. I'm joined by Aspen and Noah Fince.
Hey!
What are we going to be learning about today, Aspen?
Today, we are going to be the Sci Guys, Psychology Guys.
That's well, PSY.
What? Excellent. Oh,
like the Gangnam Style. Gangnam.
Gangnam Style.
Gangnam. Exactly.
That's right.
That's it. That's
We're
it.
Off track,
it's
all right.
K-pop. That's the entire one. No, today is the science of attraction.
Ooh.
Basically, why you're attracted to people, what are the reasons? Biological, so where does the subconscious aspect come from, but also just where do your preferences come from and how they are influenced.
Oh, interesting.
I learned a lot about myself. No, this is about me, not you. Strictly me.
Yeah, that's because I'm not attracted to anyone.
So I got this topic because I was reading this article in the New Yorker, and it's called The Age of the Instagram Face. And basically it was summarizing how we live in such a strong comparison culture at this point because we're so focused on social media and technology has such a big integration in our lives that people start changing their physical appearance, and the standard of beauty is reflected on basically what we see from social media. And with the way that plastic and cosmetic surgery is so easily accessible, people are starting to just have all these procedures to look like essentially the same person.
That's insane. So one day we'll all be the same person.
Well, I mean,
I want
like,
to be Keanu Reeves if we can do that.
Robert
but I think that's more so on the inside, right?
Well, so long as what's on the inside is Keanu Reeves. Yeah, sure.
Robert Pattinson face Keanu Reeves insides.
Oh, that works. I'm good with that. Yeah, let's go with that.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Go on.
I just measured their faces together and I was like,
oh, oh no.
No, just Robert Pattinson with Keanu Reeves kindness.
Moving on.
Let's move on.
So I found that was really interesting, especially because all of us, we have our social media channels. So it is one huge aspect of our lives and it affects everybody differently. But one thing I've noticed is so our standard of beauty is constantly changing, and this has really affected it a lot. Like I know a lot of people who what they perceive as attractive is shaped by what they see in the media, or how they want to change how they look is shaped by what's presented to them. And so it's interesting that people are starting to change and base how they look off of how other people look. And in the end, how does that then affect what we truly are attracted to?
That's so true. It's like that's why you see gay guys and gay girls that basically date themselves. Have you seen that?
Oh.
Well, you've got a gay, there's a gay couple and they look like twins and you're looking at them and you're like, are you siblings or are you dating?
I have friends like that.
Yeah, right?
Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah. So interesting. And then, so, I mean, there's that whole behind attraction, there's so the biological background and the stuff that, you know, they say is just, it's part of your genetics and it's something that you don't really actively look for. It's just, you know, that's how it is. And then there's the aspect of the psychological where we are influenced by the culture and how it's shaped. I mean, you think of sort of trends for beauty back throughout time. So like the very small waists in Europe or the foot binding in Imperial China. And that was just sort of a product of the time. And at the time, they're like, well, they're doing it. So it's nice. But then they grew out of it.
I'm just thinking of like 90s eyebrows.
You know, oh, where
like
there was no eyebrows.
Half a centimeter thick.
Yeah. Sperm brows.
That's not genetic.
We were watching The Mummy the other day. We
oh,
watching The Mummy.
God,
so the woman in The Mummy, what's her name? The French woman. I can't remember her name. Anyway, her eyebrows were basically non-existent. Whereas if you see pictures of her now, they're like they're normal eyebrows. It's such a thing. And I didn't notice it at the time.
I just find it funny because a lot of people, like back in the day, they got their eyebrows tattooed like that so they wouldn't have to do their eyebrows. But I bet they're kicking themselves now.
Yeah, because now they want to get so double tattoos
fashion.
On.
Yeah,
so,
double
or it's like they plucked them so much they had to get them tattooed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some eyebrows.
And Cara Delevingne came along and changed the whole game.
She's
was
got
thick,
great
bushy
eyebrows.
Imagine being Cara Delevingne in the 90s.
Oh,
imagine how tedious
violated.
That would have been.
I think she
wasn't
was a
like
child.
Cindy Crawford, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Shall we go on?
Yes, we shall. Bye, brows. Okay. Okay, so, yeah, the culture of comparison, because all of our contemporary systems of visual broadcasting have infiltrated basically our opinions to an extent, and basically what you see, I mean, I'm sure you guys see a lot on social media, which I noticed, is that there's all these features on people's faces that are just not distinct to their genetic makeup.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, for example, so high cheekbones, that's from Native American background or Middle Eastern, but everybody's mixing everything up together. So there's no really origin of your genetics. It's just we all want to look at the same face.
I think I read this article actually, because it was saying like,
and it's called the Cyborgian face.
Yeah, because you've got like, it's like high cheekbones from like Native American culture. You've got like big lips from like, I say culture. It's not their culture to have
high cheekbones. Culture to have high cheekbones.
Cultural appropriation.
You got good cheekbones? Wow, I can't believe how racist you are. No, big lips from like black people. Mm-hmm. Nothing from white people because, oh, wait, no, the skin tone. That's what you want.
Oh,
white the little button nose. Yeah, that's it.
So this one was kind of interesting, but also I don't know if you guys fully agree with it, because if you look up sort of what the basis for attraction is in sort of the biological aspect, it says it's basically broken down by the senses, of course, with the overall goal is that you're looking for somebody to pass your genetics on to, and that's going to be the most genetically superior for your offspring.
So this basically is just whoever is the strongest you then want to, you know, get it on with.
Yeah, exactly. But
I have no chance.
Go ahead.
No, you have double the chance. This was a thing I was thinking, because I was looking up like the details of like biologically what we're looking for, because sort of all senses are involved, which I'll explain in a moment. But it's also, I think, no matter what your orientation is, we still look for somebody who's at the end of the day healthy and attractive.
Yeah.
And the thing is with you, you're like a double threat, because you have your pictures of like I don't know, how do you refer to that when you're a girl, when you're a guy? How do you properly say this?
Wait, what's the gist of it?
Basically, you're attractive no matter what you identify as.
Oh.
And so...
Why? What?
No, but I'm saying, so it doesn't, I don't think it has to do with that. It's just sort of like, at the end of the day, we all are attracted to somebody who looks healthy.
Yeah.
And who has good genes.
Young and strong and fit.
You're not wearing jeans, you're wearing joggers. So you're right, I'm
but
sorry.
But maybe the way those chromosomes pair. Yeah. Chef kiss.
Which is why, actually, I think this is related to... Why, I don't know when, let's say the 18th century, or Victorian times, whenever, fat people were very attractive because it meant that they were rich because they could afford lots of food.
And also people with like black teeth as well. Like because their teeth rotted because sugar was so expensive and it was so difficult to get hold of. People used to like put like shoe polish on their teeth to make it look like their teeth had rotten.
Yeah, guys, I've been snacking.
Yeah,
I've been snacking. About you guys.
Yeah, I don't brush them. Whereas now, like, being really, really physically fit and having really nice teeth shows that you're healthy. That's a sign of health. So that's what we go after.
Yeah, like men, for example, they're getting implants to look like they have abs or muscles because
We watched it. So we were watching, Noah and I were watching a video on this recently. It was like this TV show where they show like how they do plastic surgery.
Oh my God, I love those.
And it's insane. Horrifying. how they sculpt it, because a lot of people think that you've got to, you can just be like, you know, 300 pounds and go in and then come out with a six pack. But the doctors were saying, no.
Get rid of all the skin.
Yeah, no, they say you've got to be basically at the point of having a six pack already.
Yeah.
And we'll just make it stay there.
Well, they just suck out all the fat.
Yeah.
It's like,
but they don't just, they sculpt fat around the muscles. It's really weird.
But certain like muscle implants, you can't work out anymore. Otherwise it'll rupture them or it'll displace them. So it's like, you just have to like look tough, but be just weak.
Like surely the rest of your body will just be so weak, because you can't use those muscles. So you just have big pecs and tiny arms.
Yeah, which is it's like, you guys see the episode of SpongeBob where he gets the fake arms?
Oh my God, yeah.
It's essentially like that.
That's the thing. Breast implants, I can understand, because ultimately, unless you're having a kid, they're mostly useless. Whereas muscle implants, you need your arms all the time. Like, in day-to-day life. Maybe don't get muscle implants just to look strong. Just go to the gym.
I'm just stuck over the fact that you said breasts are mostly useless.
Well,
it's not untrue.
Unless you're
breastfeeding.
Yes.
Or trying to attract someone.
Well, that's why you would get... Well, that's the second use, which is why you would get
them implanted.
Because I think,
damn, this girl can breastfeed.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Think of all the babies that can suckle on her.
Wow, I hate everything you just said.
It's only two.
Listen, this is my day-to-day life, okay?
See, I think that's the thing. You'd think that multiple nipples would then be attractive because it means you can feed more babies.
Listen, how many does your cat
multiple
have?
Nipples.
Oh, yes. More than two nipples. Sorry.
That's why Harry Styles is so attractive.
How many nipples does he have?
He's got four nipples.
He's got four nipples.
Where does he keep them?
He's got two normal nipples, and then he's got one there, and then one slightly lower.
I'm not going to ask why you know the exact placement of Harry Styles' nipples. I'm just going to move on.
Every interview he has, they talk about his nipples, I swear.
It's the hottest part of the fan fiction. The part that's not fiction.
Okay, go on.
Nipples, also very attractive. I forgot to note that, but we have it down.
Nipples are attractive?
You don't like nipples.
Oh, I thought you were being serious. I was like, you've written down nipples are attractive. Yeah, good. No, I don't like nipples.
The best nipples are nipples that look like they're not there.
What?
See, I don't think anyone agrees with that.
Also, you don't like
nipples. What does that mean, though? I need to know.
Let's just move on.
You have to explain.
I will tell you at the end.
Is it like when the coloring from the areola and the nipple are just like very well blended? I prefer
a blended nipple to a darker nipple. Personally, that's a personal choice.
Wow.
What's the psychological reason for that?
Mm-hmm.
You're just broken.
What's the science?
Because nipples weird me out.
Yeah. They're strange.
So, all right. So then let's go to the noted facts of what makes you attracted to somebody. So basically it's all the senses telling you this person is going to make some great babies.
Even taste.
Taste, baby.
Do you have to lick someone and be like,
you don't need to lick. You don't need to do that. That's my hoodie.
No. It's just for fun. Sorry. You don't taste very attractive.
A I'm very fertile. I know because.
You're not fertile. You're infertile.
I'm not infertile.
Here you are.
I'm not.
You're not?
I'm not infertile.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you.
The more you know.
Okay, so the factors based on the senses. So what I basically got from looking it all up is it's mainly sight, smell. Yeah, wait, no, touch. Actually, there's more touch and hearing.
If someone's got a sexy voice.
Basically.
Oh.
Touch is a weird one.
No, it's not. Because if you feel like... If someone feels sweaty, or if someone feels slimy...
Hairy?
Oh, people like the feel of hair.
I just feel like your hands aren't quite big enough to feel the whole thing at once. So it's not, just kind of like, you have... This arm is okay, and then this head is quite nice.
It's not like you're feeling... It's not like you're attracted to everything at once. It's just the parts that you feel. I don't know about this. Why don't you tell us why?
My fondest memories with crushes is when I get like a nice, cold, clammy, sweaty hand just wrapped in mine.
No.
That's the fondest one.
It's horrible.
That's disgusting.
No. But they actually did an experiment. Sorry. They actually did an experiment about that, and what they did is they had basically somebody give people a cup of coffee or a cup of iced coffee. Yeah. And then they had them relay that memory and explain then the characteristics of the person giving them the beverage. And they found when people received the cold coffee, they said, okay, this person was less attractive than the one with the warm, because you associate warm with being comforting and just sort of, I don't know, that comforting aspect.
I hate how easily swayed humans are.
Yeah, when you hear about
me hot drink, you're very attractive.
It's like you hear about all these studies and you're like, man, we're dumb. Yeah. We're really dumb.
Not even consciously.
No, that's the worst part. The fact that it is very easy to trick us.
Okay, so the touch, that one's pretty simple. The audible, so that one's pretty simple, You associate it with females being nurturing, male being masculine. Not too interesting. But the sight and the smell are probably the most interesting ones. So when it comes to the visual attraction, this is so people are attracted to, of course, the youthful, healthy look, like nice skin and long hair, just, fresh, angelic.
Signs of health.
We had this, we did this in psychology, I think, once, and they were like separating it between sexes, as in like men were attracted to younger women because they're more fertile when they're younger, but women were attracted to older men because they're more likely to have more resources because they've lived longer.
Yeah, no, because if you look at the chart, so I think I saw these graphs about when men and women are most attracted to each other, at which age. And it does really show that like men's ideal like age for a woman is about 25 or something.
Oh, or I thought it was
like 25
much
younger. And women for men is about, I think, like late 30s, which is, it's a massive difference. It's really odd. I'm like,
get it while they're young and fertile.
Well, that's what happened though. Like that's why men used to marry, like 13-year-olds.
And I know a lot of girls who are into like 40-year-old men.
I know a lot of you that's into 40-year-old men.
What 40-year-old men am I into?
Bill Skarsgård.
He's 27, Corey.
He looks so old.
He really doesn't. He has youthful skin. I'll show you his skin after
a
this.
A great crop of hair as well.
He's got great hair. You think he looks old? He's so... He played a teenager last year.
What? Yeah, so does everybody on high school shows on Netflix. Yeah. And they're skin, at least 30.
His skin is so perfect.
Okay, moving on from Bill Skarsgård's skin.
I don't know who it is, but he's got nice skin.
The guy who plays Pennywise.
Why don't we find out more about attraction?
Right. So, sight. And I think one of the ones that I find the most interesting is symmetry. Because, so... Yeah. From the biological aspect, symmetry is shown to be the most attractive because it shows that your DNA has not suffered oxidized stress during the growth and so development. And so that says basically moving forward, the more the DNA grows and develops, then it's not going to break. It's a strong, nice one.
That's so interesting. I didn't know there was like a developmental thing to symmetry.
Yeah, so basically it comes down, a lot of attraction comes down to how strong is your DNA? As in, how good are you, like how well are your children gonna last? Mm-hmm. And how strong are you? So how well can you protect kids?
That's so weird.
I think those are like the two main aspects. Like, I mean, that's why a lot of attraction is down to being well nourished and having solid genes.
There was another one we learned about that was just like being attracted to women, as in like the proportion of their waist to their hips.
Oh,
that
because
was
they
a specific.
Can...
Are you going to talk about
eloquent
that?
Eloquent birthing hips?
Yeah, yeah.
No,
there was a specific ratio between like the waist and the hips, so the hips aren't too wide and the waist isn't too small, but there's like a perfect ratio.
The hourglass figure,
yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah,
yeah.
That's because for anyone listening, if they don't know, because when women give birth, you need to have wide hips to get that baby out.
Yeah, there's no reason to have a small waist.
To carry
That's
that
kind
baby.
Of rude, expecting them to have like really wide hips and like no waist.
Just make
rude.
It harder. Yeah. Don't want everyone Excuse being me. Attractive.
Yeah.
Because then no one's attractive.
That's not true. Know?
That's the point. No.
You're all ugly. Aspen said it. That's it.
Hey, always set the bar low. More to go. That's why I look so successful. But that's one thing where I thought was interesting, because me, when I think of people that I find attractive physically, I don't like when they're too symmetrical. It stresses me out. It gives me anxiety. All the people I found attractive, for some reason, I go for guys that have like slightly bigger noses or like a very just large, something that's unsymmetrical in their face. That's what I like for some reason. I can always say I like him, but it. But all of them, their faces are not super symmetrical.
Like Adam Driver. You're not into Adam Driver?
No.
Is there an example of like a celebrity?
Yeah.
Not that I can think
Tom
of.
Tom Cruise
now.
With his like, he's got three front teeth.
No, he's got one tooth. He had one tooth in the middle of his face.
Yeah.
He got that fixed though. Like you can see the difference in pictures. Have you not seen the picture of Tom Cruise with a tooth in the middle of his face?
No.
It looks like he has three front teeth because there's one that's like smack bam in line with his nose.
No.
Yeah.
Really weird. You don't notice it until you look at it. Yeah.
Yeah, he has a tooth in the middle
of
his face.
No, I don't believe that.
Yeah, that's 100% a real picture.
I think he's got veneers now.
Oh, yeah, he's absolutely got veneers now.
Oh, yeah.
Where were we?
Right. So the next one, smell.
Smell?
Oh, God.
Do you guys
I have
know
a lot to say about this.
All right, you want to start?
Not
Do
really.
I smell good?
We have a friend who really likes the smell of her boyfriend when he sweats, and I just can't relate to it. It's like, it makes sense that you'd be attracted to someone's sweat smell.
That's what it's for.
Yeah.
It's no, sweat is not there to attract people. That's not what sweat is for.
That's what it's for. It's pheromones.
Waste product to get rid of, not for attraction. But no, I just feel like it's not something that I'd be into, smelling someone's sweat.
Maybe his sweat smells really good. I've never smelled his sweat.
I think I have.
Yeah?
Yeah. Smells like sweat.
I'm not interested.
No.
You're not interested?
It's too much of a gamble. It's like moms when they're like, oh, is this poop?
Oh, no.
Every mom does that. And you're like, you don't have to.
My mother has never done that. I can guarantee.
Or like they'll take a baby and smell the diaper and be like, is it clean?
Oh,
like,
no.
No, I've done that. Yeah.
No, you can just look. You don't have to smell it. Well, but you do.
No, I don't want to open
Looking
it.
Looking is scarier than smelling.
No, you like if you look at it, you're gonna smell it. That's the issue.
All right, I safer bet. Okay, fine. You're in the safe zone. Okay, in your bubble. No, so smell, you have basically pheromones. So that's what attracts each other to a certain extent, because once again, it's a way for us to sort of trigger behavioral responses and attract people.
Do you want to maybe explain what pheromones are? Do you have a description of what pheromones are?
No, I forgot that.
That's totally fine. Pheromones are, they're basically chemicals that you release that attract, well, I'd say the opposite sex. Yeah.
It's, oh, I had...
It's sexy time smell.
I've got two friends who like...
You've only got two friends?
No, sure. I have like two friends who like every time I went around their house, they're like, can we just sit and smell you for a bit? I remember like every time I used to see them, they used to come up to me and hug me and they'd be like, can I just sit here because you smell good?
You don't smell good. Like you don't smell bad, but you don't smell so good that I'd want to sit and smell you.
But that's
well,
like,
maybe I smell good to them.
Everybody has their own smell. Like you go and you're like, my pillow smells like this person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not really them trying weird. To be sexy.
I think I've got a bad smell. I don't like my smell.
You don't have a bad smell.
No?
No.
Does it stress you out that you don't know how you smell?
Yeah, because you can't know how you smell. Because, okay, so I'm going to get into this. There's this thing called smell fatigue, wherein if you smell a smell for too long, if you smell a smell for too long, you no longer smell it.
Oh, yeah, that's why I switched my perfumes for the season.
Oh, yeah,
because then I put too much on and I smell like a grandma.
Come on.
This one time, this guy tried to compliment me and he goes, you smell like my mom.
Oh.
Wow.
And he phrased it as like a genuine compliment and I was like,
is that like the Oedipus complex? Oedipus.
Yeah, this is very Freudian,
that's a compliment,
isn't it?
You know? You smell like my mom. I want to have sex with her.
She's sitting right there.
Yeah.
Been in there once. Great times.
Yeah. That's the thing. That was what Freud said, wasn't it? That everyone wants to sleep with their mum.
Or their dad.
Or, well, if, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or
if you're
their
a girl,
dad.
You want to sleep with your dad, apparently.
Yeah, but everything was about the penis, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's penis envy. Like, girls are jealous they don't have a dick.
I mean, girls probably are quite jealous. Are you jealous?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So yeah, the pheromones, they convey the genetic trait, they trigger behavioral responses, inappropriate conversation topics for certain podcasts. Yeah. So let's see. When it comes to the sense of smell, we're basically attuned to respond to the MHC molecules. Mm-hmm. Do you know what these are?
My head cannon.
Monohydrochloride.
Monohydrocarbonate. Wait, hold on. That's not right at all. That doesn't
multiple
mean anything.
Mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
Yes.
Mitochondria house cell.
Oh, okay. That makes much more sense.
See?
Which is because you get your mitochondria from your mother. So everyone wants to sleep with their mother.
What?
That's how it.
It goes all the way to the top.
Oh, yeah, you get mitochondria from your mum.
Oh.
Why?
Because your mum makes you and gives you your mitochondria in your cells. So mitochondria are like little tiny bacteria effectively living inside of you.
No, I got none of that. I'm all clean.
You sure?
Yeah, no bacteria at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Let's go on.
Okay, I just have a really bad joke. Do you want to hear it?
I love every bad
joke.
Okay,
so the other day a scientist asked me where I keep mitosis,
mm-hmm.
and I told him in my shoes is.
I was going to say socks.
Oh, I mean, yeah. It'll work.
On my feet, sis. Yeah.
Where does the president keep his armies? Up his sleeves.
In his sleeves. Oh, that's good.
I can go for ages. It's not. Okay, so the MHC molecule, which is the major histocompatibility complex. So basically, it's genes that help support the immune system recognizing foreign substances.
Oh, yeah.
So histone
proteins. Yeah.
Yeah, we're basically smelling out what people are immune to and how they're compatible, because if they're immune to everything that we're not, then we should get together because
so
our kids
cool.
will be super.
Oh, yeah.
Like that makes so much. Wow, I'm good at speaking. That makes so much sense.
It does. Yeah.
But I never would have thought that would be a thing.
That's why you shouldn't sleep with your sibling. I mean, there's other reasons, but that's one of them.
I think there are more important reasons.
You know, the last time you were on, we were talking about incest.
Poor genetics.
I don't know what it is about you.
I never brought it up. This is you. This is all on you.
It's not on me at all. But yeah, that's one of the reasons you shouldn't incest is bad. Not just because of a lack of genetic diversity, but also you're not going to be immune to different things because you've been raised in the same way.
Is it okay to sleep with your brother if he was adopted?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, no.
It's
don't say you just said yes.
It depends. It's less bad.
It does not depend.
It's less bad.
Stepmom?
Doesn't make it okay. That's never happened before. That doesn't exist.
I've seen many videos online that definitely say it does exist.
Oof. Okay, moving on.
So major histocompatibility complex.
Yeah, but only 1C.
1C.
MHC. Yep. And so basically we smell that out. Somebody say, hey, you're immune to what I'm not. Let's get together. Our kids, they're going to go far.
Oh, that's amazing. Hey, hey, man.
It sounds like Trump.
You want...
Our kids, they're going to go far.
Why is... Our kids, why is he like, huge, why is he Italian?
Huge.
Huge. What is this?
Why he's an Italian American?
He does something with his hands, doesn't it?
Huge.
That's it.
So yeah, in the end, it's all about the best survival advantage for offsprings and carrying those genes far, far off into the future. And
time machine is the most attractive. That's why Doctor Who is so attractive.
I don't find Doctor Who attractive.
So that brings to the last portion, the future. So then basically the main question I have is for the future of attraction. If this is the biological background and we have the psychological aspect, so the influence of the culture in how basically it always evolves to what we find or have been told this is the standard of beauty for this generation, then how is that going to evolve where we currently are? So bringing it back to the start, that sort of that article about with social media, with this, I think this is sort of the biggest portion of comparison culture we've had so far, because social media is so completely integrated and such, its lines are really blurred. Yeah. Where it is.
Whereas before, like, you know, when you want to see a famous person, you just have to look at the money and see the queen, see what she's up to.
I just feel like in the future, it'll be like people will be attracted to like edited versions of people. So in real life, they're not going to be attracted to people.
Everyone will be wearing VR right headsets.
Now. Yeah. That was because like, every like influencer, apart from me, because I'm perfect, edit their pictures. But like, if everyone's doing that and that's all you're seeing, stop making that face. I'm making a point. If that's what everyone's seeing, then surely, like, nobody is going to be attracted to people in real life.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Because, there are the parts that we can't control. We find we don't really go after, like, sick people and be like, oh, hey, sexy.
Have you seen The Fault in Our Stars?
Wow.
No, you've not.
She's literally dying for him.
Why don't we move on?
Yeah. So then how will what we perceive as attraction and all of this topic, how does it evolve in the future? So both on a personal and societal mindset, because of course, what we think is attractive is definitely influenced by our generation and the times. And you think back to, okay, previous generations, we don't think that's attractive. But then you think, well, what I think is right now attractive, we all kind of have a similar level with that.
Yeah,
we were talking about something like this yesterday. Actually, there was a Twitter post, and it was a picture of like four girls who had the exact same makeup, like perfectly contoured, the exact same hair color, and we were walking to like the shops or something, and I was like, in 10 years, that's gonna be weird for us to look at that, because we're so used to seeing the same type of person. In 10 years, we're gonna look back and be like, what were they thinking?
That's so true. But it's like, if you look back, and I don't know, I think it was in the '70s or something, where like a really like a barrel chested like hairy man with like a mullet or whatever was attractive, whereas now you're like, that's disgusting. I mean, don't touch me.
Was Greece was that the 60s?
50s.
Greasers in the 50s. Yeah.
John Travolta looks great.
Well, he always looks great though, but also that
not
was
right
filmed
now.
In the 80s.
Yeah,
no, he still looks good. It was filmed in the 80s.
You can tell from the movie though, it looks very 80s. Like, their hair is very 80s.
I don't know what was happening.
Oh, God,
in the 80s.
How old am I?
Well, the 80s didn't exist.
Yeah.
Because Luke was not alive
exist.
In the 80s.
This is true. Well, are we even existing right now?
Well, no, because Luke isn't here.
Yeah.
In fact, Luke's not been here for 2 weeks. I don't know how this podcast is still happening. At some point, Luke's going to listen, and then it will start happening.
So, Luke's
everything,
cat?
Yeah. Everything is determined by Luke.
Okay, so I think, like, the best question to sort of summarize this up would be, at this point then, are we suppressing the biological factor of attraction in favor of the psychological?
Oh, that's interesting.
Because if everybody's changing and we're all trying to look the same and we all are accepting as being this, you know, standard of beauty, what we think about how we look ourselves but other people, then that's not really biological based.
Okay, I've got an answer for this. We used to be. But now we're not. Because in the like late noughties and the 2010s, you had to be really, really slim to be attractive.
Like a pool noodle.
Yeah, exactly. Like a pool noodle.
You still got a little motion.
But then, like, obviously, for a lot of people to get to that kind of body type, they're then infertile. because if you don't know this, if you're really, really, really thin, and that's not your natural body type, your body can just stop producing eggs. So that would be a point where there's no biological basis for being attracted to someone who can't physically make babies. But that's what we were really into. Whereas now,
Not women with very thin, small bodies, they're perceived as more youthful and childish.
Yeah.
So isn't that...
I don't think being thick is like... thick. Being into thick girls overrides every other urge.
No, Lizzo.
But like, it's the same thing with like some... Yeah, but with like some people's bodies, they're not able to get stick thin, but some people aren't able to get thick.
No, I know. I'm just saying
it's the same thing. It's just reversed. And also, if you're like really thick, you may be overweight. You may have health issues. So you've screwed that one.
Or it's boy. Back in the day, and you're eating very good.
Yeah.
I'm just saying
that if you're thick, you're more likely to be able to have a child than if you're really underweight.
Infertile.
Well, really underweight. Yes.
Yeah.
But thin, no.
No, that's what I'm not saying that thin. Just
I don't
being
think, thin. I don't think like really, 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 really underweight was like in fashion.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
I'd just say it was just like slim. And then for some people,
Kate Moss, 90s.
Oh.
I suppose it was the 90s more
heroin
than the...
Heroin chic era.
Yeah. I mean, I think that ultimately, whatever we find attractive, we push towards being an unhealthy body type anyway.
Oh, yeah, it has to be to the extreme. It's like, I want to be attractive, but I want to be really attractive, so I'll be exactly in line with this thing that's unattainable to most people.
Yeah, like, ever since the advent of Photoshop, we kind of ruined it, didn't we?
Yeah.
Like, you got to be thick, but have no cellulite.
Yeah, that's so ridiculous.
You got to be so skinny that your arm is, like, the size, like, is the width of your wrist.
Your arm is the width of your wrist.
Your entire arm is the width of your wrist.
Oh, I was like, excuse me?
My arm is not the width of...
Your arm is the width of your arm?
Okay, so
listen,
then,
sorry,
I guess...
Just a disclaimer, this is not to shame anyone's body type. However you look, you are beautiful.
Mm. Unless you look like...
Donald Trump.
But yeah. Like, try to look like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the good thing is. Like, for me, I have this one really, which I think it's stupid because it kind of annoys me, my crooked tooth. But that's a really strong genetic trait from Cherokee. And so everybody in my family from that side, we all have it. And even the ones that have gotten braces, the tooth comes back.
What about quite crooked teeth? My bottom teeth are quite crooked. So is that a good thing?
Are you English?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Strong genetics.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. You often find that something that you focus on a lot, people don't even know. You said, because when you said you had a crooked tooth, I was like, you got a crooked tooth?
You pointed to the wrong side at first. Yeah. And I'm like, it looks, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because some people find imperfections attractive.
Well, yeah. No,
like,
I mean,
I like people who have like...
Like me and my noses.
You and your noses,
you and your
yeah.
noses. But that's the thing. If someone is like too perfectly attractive, it's daunting. It's like, yeah. I don't know. Like
every guy on Love Island, I'm not attracted to any of them because they look exactly the same. They're symmetrical, but like in such a non-attractive way.
But that's the interesting thing, because obviously that's not to say that they're unattractive. Whenever we say this, we're just saying, I personally don't find this attractive.
Well, it's subjective, isn't it?
It's all subjective.
It's so, like me. I love dad bod Leo in the summer living his best life with a water gun. This is the one where I'm like, this guy.
I prefer 90s Leo.
Maybe Leo.
I prefer no Leo.
That's not true. You'd love Leo.
Listen, there's a Leo for everybody, okay?
Leo's my little brother's
I'm
name.
I'm this Leo. I'm Leo.
Leo's my little
that
brother's
not
name,
your
so
Leo.
I don't like any
Leo.
That's not my Leo.
No. Okay, so I guess then the answer is that it's more weighing on the psychological aspect at this point than the biological.
That could be a good thing, though.
Has it ever weighed? I mean, the thing is, has it ever weighed on the biological since we kind of developed society and got a bit smart? You know,
when did we get a bit smart?
I would say around about the time that we developed farming.
1997, October 8th, when I was born.
Yeah, the world got so much smarter.
Got a bit smart.
The average smart of the world just increased by a million times.
Yeah, because you brought down the average so much.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Yes,
I said
you're
increased.
So dumb.
You're very lucky I'm bad at math.
Maths.
Good.
Math guys.
Yeah, but no, I would say realistically, the answer to that, I would say right about the time that you developed farming and stopped having to survive and started to actually thrive. So at the point...
Did that happen when farming was invented, though?
Thereabouts.
I was like, they must have had a struggle at first.
Yeah, but, I mean, ultimately...
They didn't have any tools?
Yes, they did. They did have tools.
You don't know that.
That's how they started... Okay.
You weren't there.
I wasn't there, but I do know that. I do know that they had tools. Tools was one of the... That's one of the first things that we did.
That's what monkeys do.
Okay. Moving on to what I was trying to say.
Call me monkey.
No, they've managed to, like... They use tools now.
Okay. What I'm trying to say is at the point that we developed kind of farming and we stopped really fighting to survive and like having to hunt constantly and we could have a plentiful supply of food, there wasn't a massive focus on surviving. So there was a you know, natural selection kind of slowed down a bit.
Yeah, but surely it was a subconscious thing anyway. Attraction's not exactly conscious. People aren't going to be like, oh, I don't need a strong man.
Yeah,
so I'll look into other men. They'll still have that part of their body that's just like,
but
I'm
what
attracted
about,
to this
what about
type
the
of
component
person.
Now where if you're comparing yourself, how you see and the most attractive version of yourself is a mirror of somebody else. And so like,
what do you
it's
mean?
Just like that circle. So like as I said at the start, like we're women, for example, on Instagram, we're all trying to update our features so we all look the same in like this sort of universal look. But then we perceive that for ourselves as attractive, but in other people as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I'll get a haircut that I really like, and people will be like, I preferred your old hair. And I'm like, but that's not true, because it's not good. But yeah. People will still be like, I want it back.
It's weird. But it's like the features that you like on other people is what you like on yourself, effectively. Yeah. So, like, I really like how Keenan Lonsdale looks, and I want to look like him.
You look better than Keenan Lonsdale.
Thank you very much. But I just can't get there. It's odd. And I think Keenan Lonsdale looks very attractive.
That's the thing. People are trying. Like, I'd say, I like your face and your face, but can I wear that? No, not at all.
Well, no, that would be blackface.
I think it could at some point happen.
I think that's probably not allowed. That's blackface is generally frowned upon.
I don't know, she's going to wear his, a Justin, face. What's his face?
She's going to wear a face. She has to get yours off first. So I feel like the blackface would be the issue after cutting off your face. I think that would be the main thing.
I mean, unless I'm the, don't. Like...
I feel like it's worse to wear a black person's face rather than a white person's face if you're a white person.
I think once you've cut off someone's face, I don't really care what face it is, to be completely honest.
I feel like there's a line there.
Oh, not really?
Yeah.
So if I were to cut off Evan's face, it would be fine.
Don't
it wouldn't be
face.
Fine.
If I wore his
you'd
face.
Have, you'd have cut off a man's face to wear
there
it.
There you go. That's my argument. That's everything past that is like... Do what you want to do now. You've already cut off a person's face.
No. I feel like what kind of face?
Does race come
different?
Into factor when you're like mutilating someone's face?
But apparently, yeah. As he said, it's better if it's a white one.
That's not what I said.
Why?
Let's just move on.
All right. So then how does sexual orientation, including the politics associated, affect that?
How does it affect it?
Because if you're saying that, if basically everybody's saying from the scientific standpoint, biological, it's who you'd basically reproduce the best with. If you can't reproduce with the other person, then how does that affect the attraction?
So I was having a conversation with Luke about this about a year ago, I think. And the interesting thing is, like, where does like some kind of same sex attraction come from? Does it come from wanting
devil.
To?
From the originates from down there.
Yeah, down there.
My loins.
That's where I feel it.
All of us are like, yeah. You're cute.
That's the thing. Where does it come from? Does it come from wanting to reproduce with that person? And in that case, do you want to reproduce with them as like the opposite sex or as the same sex?
Oh, it's interesting because it could be like, are you attracted to people because you want to reproduce with them or because you want to have sex?
Yeah.
Because there's a difference.
Yeah.
But that gets rid of the biological thing. It was like, you want to have sex. It only feels good because it's a good thing that you reproduce.
Yeah.
Which is what is the truth?
The thing is, the real thing about all of this is that animals are so dumb that to keep themselves, you know, to keep their species alive, they need sex to be the best thing ever.
Wow. Okay.
You know? If like think about it, if sex was not like amazing, then
it would be
every
disgusting.
Animal would be, every animal would have just be it would just be dead.
Oh, especially ducks.
Ducks don't want to have sex.
No,
male ducks. Okay, so male
they
ducks
should
have
not.
No, but most birds don't have genitals like penises
ducks
and
are
vaginas.
Corkscrews.
Yeah, so male ducks have got corkscrew penises. Female ducks have got corkscrew vaginas in the opposite direction. and they can change the they can change
bottle cap.
No, but what the female duck does is that if she wants to have sex, if she wants to have sex with a male duck, she changes the shape of you know her inside to accommodate the corkscrew.
Mystique vagina.
Also, they're explosively they explode outwards, not like boom.
The vaginas.
Like I think. Maybe
I think that's called a prolapse.
Maybe it was time lapsed, but I think
it's prolapse.
No, the video I saw of the duck's penis.
Wait, you watch duck porn.
It's the only one I can.
Only men ducks. Okay,
no, only male ducks. I don't like the way that the lady ducks are treated, so I only watch male duck porn. So
no other part, just that.
Yeah, but I think that male duck penises kind of like explode outwards in terms of.
I mean, that would make sense.
Don't they all explode outwards?
Surely it would be painful.
It's
if
very
it's
slow.
Slowly
it's a very slow explosion.
I'm the youngest here, and even I don't find that funny.
Okay, it was interesting what you were saying about either being attracted to someone because you want to have sex or because you want to reproduce.
I think it's because you want to have sex. I don't think that many people nowadays will be like, "I'm attracted to this person. I want to reproduce with them." I guess it's subconscious, though.
But that's the thing. The underlying thing for attraction is reproduction.
Yeah, but do we know that? Yeah, like, that's what we think and what we've been taught. Is it true though?
Yeah, that's the thing. You could argue that now, because of the kind of psychological aspect of it, reproduction is less involved, and it's just sex feels good. I'm gonna do it.
But then, surely that it could be a good thing because like overpopulation is a thing anyway.
But then, hold on. But then, where does wanting to have sex with someone come from? Because if sex feels good, just in general, sex feels good with anyone. So realistically, you should be attracted to anyone.
You can't get hard on if you're not attracted to the person.
But then where does that attraction come from?
What do you mean?
Well, okay, so it has to have a root. If you're saying that the reason that you're attracted to someone is because you want to have sex,
or like,
then why
ever...
aren't you attracted to everyone? Because sex feels just as good, whether it's with, you know, like someone with blonde hair or someone with like black hair.
That's like the hair thing is so funny.
But I mean, have you guys ever had somebody where they're so physically just hot, you're like, oh my goodness, you're sexy, and then you barely just like touch them, get around them, you're like, no.
You get like the ick, you know?
Where you're just like,
it's not happening.
No. Either where they're really hot and then they speak and then...
Oh, they just suddenly.
No, just everything. Or like you kiss them and you're like, this is just,
there's no chemistry.
I'm not into it. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I get you. What's really interesting, I think, as well, is that beyond, because there must be different types of attraction, because we're just talking about kind of physical attraction here.
Yeah, there's like so many,
because obviously they're, like I always say that all my friends are really good looking, but then that's probably down to the fact that when you get closer to someone and you know them better, they automatically become more attractive because they're a nice person. Like nice people are more attractive than not nice people. And if all of your friends are nice, which they should be, you should always have nice friends. Then you're going to think your friends are more attractive than the baseline level of someone who didn't know them.
I find Joe from You very attractive, and he's really not a nice person, and I think it makes him hotter.
No, but he's a nice person, and he's sympathetic. He just does awful things.
Wait, who is this?
Oh, he's in You.
It's a program called You, where this guy is obsessed with a girl, and then he kills everyone. Yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the thing. Where does attraction come from?
Yeah, well, that's the interesting part, because I was looking into this, and then I was like, oh, a science topic, but everything is based on the biological aspect, and you're like, well, wait a second, where is then, how much does that take an account of?
Yeah.
And yeah, influence. It's like we're not just purely biological beings, otherwise we'd just be having sex with everybody and just trying to reproduce. Yeah.
But that's what bonobos do. Bonobos have got it down.
I think rats do that too.
Yeah, but that's the interesting thing. Like some animals just have sex as a fun thing to do, or as a show of like friendship. Like bonobo monkeys, they do that a lot.
They have sex with their friends.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's a bonding thing. It's a social thing.
I have so many thoughts.
Well, okay. Where do you think attraction comes from, Aspen?
That one's hard because, I mean, I would say it's more the psychological aspect, because you can check everything off. Say this person from these biological facts and of these scientific, like super, calculated points. Yeah, they should be super attractive, but that's not my preference.
Yeah.
And so I think there's just too many components that are the psychological aspect.
Yeah, that's interesting. What about you?
I feel like it originated like as a biological thing, as I feel like a lot of animals are like purely like biologically Like, you're not going to see a rat not have sex with a woman rat because he's not attracted to her. Like, he's just going to have sex with her and they're just going to have babies.
To be fair, I see our rats have sex with each other despite the fact that they're brothers and boys.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Gay brothers, gay incest.
We had mice and they literally, oh, God.
It's a dominance thing, though, isn't it? But no, I feel like maybe it originated as a more biological thing, but as we've lost the need to, like... So we haven't lost the need to reproduce, but we don't need to try that hard to survive nowadays that people can have a choice. Mm-hmm. But I don't know where that works in terms of like...
So then we're more easily persuaded on what a standard of beauty, what is attractive to us. And that's why it's ever so shifting because it's not so much reliant on
but
that.
But I also think there's a benefit probably biologically to different people being attracted to different types of people. Because if someone's like really ugly, like biologically, then no one's going to mate with them.
I don't know. But I think being they get
really,
love too.
The thing is, being really ugly in the biological sense means being not good at producing young. So you wouldn't want anyone to have sex because you'd want to strengthen the...
Being ugly, like looking ugly.
Yeah, so like... okay, like...
Like really unsymmetrical face or something.
But like because I think there's a benefit for not everybody being attracted to conventionally attractive people because otherwise there'd be a whole population of people that will never be able to reproduce. Which is, well, I guess that's how incels.
Yeah, incels. That's exactly what I was about to say.
Oh, no, I was trying so hard to avoid that topic for my notes.
Oh, no. Incels, no. That's it. Being an incel is an attitude. It's not anything biological. They're just telling themselves it is.
It's a lifestyle.
No, it literally is. They're like, I can't have sex with women because I'm short. No, you're probably just a dickhead. Like, you're a misogynist.
You're
that's
rude
why
to
they
women and they don't want to be around you. That's why
it's not your short.
Yeah, but I don't know, I think I kind of almost agree with you, Noah, in that I feel almost.
What's that mean?
Well, listen and you'll find out. I think that like a lot of things, humans have gotten too smart for biology in a sense.
I think that's a cocky thing to say.
Well, no, not too smart, but too thinky. That's like
that was less eloquent than what you said.
Yeah, I know
I'm too thunked out.
Humans have gotten too like thinky and big for the boots with biology because we've gotten to the point where we don't really need to in most places in the world we don't need to fight too hard to survive. So natural selection is kind of mostly gone for us. We can you know fix the like you know the unhealthy. Like if you're ill, we've got cures for a lot of stuff. Yeah. So,
we've got cures for ugly too, if you got money.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you can
and if you
kind
have
of
a children, I mean, that's their problem.
Exactly. You can kind of be whatever you want, and we can even change genetics as well. So, we've gotten to a point where the biological reasons for finding a strong or attractive mate have kind of broken down, and they're being like pushed out of the way by, well, like psychological and sociological aspects.
Yeah.
So I feel like at the base of it, it's biological, but biology doesn't really know what to do at this point where it doesn't matter who you choose as a mate. You're young are going to survive and thrive regardless.
It's like everybody getting married young, but not for strengthening political alliances.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nonsense.
It's exactly. It's a system, biological attraction is a system that was made
outdated.
By accident. Yeah, it's outdated and we need to get rid of it, which is what we're doing. Outlaw biological attraction. That's it. There we go. That's how we end it.
I'm sure that's where it's going. That's where it's heading. These liberals,
feelings.
That's what they want.
Knew it.
It's the agenda.
Ugh.
And now it's time for the quickfire quiz round.
Yay.
Question number one, Corey.
Oh.
Do you think I'm attractive?
Oh, no.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay, real question.
I was so scared. I was like, is no the
good?
Wrong answer here?
Do I smell good? Do I look good? Touch me. Does that feel comforting?
I actually...
Cold.
I actually feel very uncomfortable right now.
Okay, so Corey, what does MHC stand for?
Oh no. I've got the rubbish ones that you made up stuck in my head. Maine?
Meh.
Oh, what was it?
Is it mitohisto or something?
Angry duck.
Don't let us know what it is. Okay, let us know what it is. Let us know what it is.
Major histocompatibility complex.
I should remember.
I'll remember that now. That's so.
It's so hard to retain information on this side. Yeah. I used to, you know, whenever I do this with Jap and Luke, I'm like, how do you guys not remember this? It's hard.
Yes.
It's very hard. I'm sorry, guys.
All right. So then, Noah, what is oxidized stress?
Oh, oxidized stress is what happens during development in the womb, and it leads to like asymmetry.
Dang.
Okay, end of round one. Noah has 1 point, and I have also 1 point.
Ha, that's funny. You got zero.
Okay, 1-0 to Noah.
All right, so Corey, what are three biases that affect the science of attraction?
Is this like your the senses? Like sight, hearing, and sense of smell.
Ding.
Yes, that's 1-1.
Noah, then, what are three examples of sight-based attraction?
Sight-based attraction, as in like symmetry. Oh, okay. Like so, like symmetry, like youthfulness, and strength.
Yeah, ding, ding,
ding, ding, right. Ding.
Okay. Ding, ding, ding.
Well, that's the end of the quickfire quiz round.
Hey,
I...
you're gonna say I win.
One. no, I lost. Noah won. Well done, Noah, a two-time winner at the quickfire quiz. How do you feel?
So smart.
But yeah, thank you guys very much for joining us. Where can everyone find you? Would you like to plug anything?
What is your address? Where can everybody find you?
Well, Germany, somewhere. Germany.
I do YouTube about living in Germany. So if you're interested in that and you like some pretty fire puns, check me out, Aspen Abroad. Because I am abroad abroad. But
you're abroad right now.
That's good. Noah, what do you do? Where can people find you?
What do I do? Oh, I do YouTube and social media. Instagram is no offense. YouTube is no offense. My Twitter is not no offense. It's Noah Finn Adams. One big word for good. One little boy.
Very good. So that is the show today. Thank you guys very much. I hope you all enjoyed the show.
I hope you guys enjoyed my note cards.
Thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave us a nice wee review? You can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, or leave us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at NoOffence, not everywhere.
Aspen Abroad, everywhere.
That's all from us. Goodbye!
Bye.